Mike to sit down or not. It's always a challenge. Yes. I'm up to the challenge. Here we are. Welcome, each and every one. I think we hopefully have some stragglers yet coming, but we're going to go ahead and begin. And let's see. Sue, it's been a little while since we saw Sue. Sue and Alexis and Faith all up there helping with the video stuff. Yes. And Rosie, nice to see you again. She's holding Bennett this morning. Libby from last week. Libby, don't come next week because that'll be three Sundays in a row and then we do something really bad to you. If you come three Sundays. Oh, you see what I have to deal with all the time, you guys. Right here. Look at these five gorgeous hunks there. Look at that. Men from the Bethesda house, that would be Samuel, Mark, Stephen, James, and Benjamin. They all have biblical names. Yeah, cool. Welcome, guys. Oh, no, watch out. Okay, you're going to make them walk out now. Going to make them walk out. All righty, and Noni, you know, I think you missed a Sunday or two on purpose just so you wouldn't have three in a row. But we're counting. No, tell me that's not true. Well, tell you what. Sorry, Noni. Love you. Okay. Who has a colored bulletin insert? If you got a bulletin with the insert Bible readings, it's got some blue and gold instead of just all black and white. Not Don again. She's shaking her head, but he did. Did he do it to you? You're both special. Okay, do we have a third one? There should be another one somewhere. Come on. No? Okay. That's the way you're going to be. All right. Well, we love you all, and let's see what we've... Okay, it's Samuel. All right, Samuel, good job. Let's see what we got for upcoming events, shall we? Tonight, from 5:30 to 7:30, there's going to be a special time of prayer and worship over at Traverse Park, down there on West Pine, just before the railroad, over, you know, the ballpark, okay? Bring chairs or blankets and join us for a great time with other believers in the community. And Wednesday night, James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, right, Sue? Yes, okay. Remember that, 6 o'clock. There we go. Everyone's welcome to join us. And then this Friday, what is this? Oh, it's called A Rush of Hope. It's a video thing that's being broadcast all over the world, and we have a chance to be a part of it. It features Greg Laurie for Kings and Country, Mercy Me, Jeremy Camp, some other stuff. We're going to show it here. Starting at 6 o'clock. It begins at 6. We have no control over the timing. It begins at 6, okay? So come a little early. We'll have popcorn, bring drinks, whatever you want to share. It'll be a great time. This Friday. Bring friends. There you go. If you have any friends, bring them. Okay. And then next Sunday, Brother Hollis, who is not able to be with us today, something about celebrating his birthday outside of God's house. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, he will be with us next Sunday sharing the message with Kathy. And then 2 weeks from today is our Roundup Sunday. And that's down at City Beach. We've got the pavilion reserved. Thad and Rebecca Huseby will be sharing with us again in song and worship. And it'll also be an opportunity for baptisms. If you haven't been baptized or if you want to do it again to renew your public witness of the Lord in your life, see me and we will be prepared to do that. Same time, 10:45, we'll remind you next Sunday about that. Okay, I guess that's it. On the front of your bulletin, Daniel's Den and Dream Discernment. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. Aren't we thankful that God reveals His mind and heart to us in different ways? Let's open our hearts to that as we begin this morning. Father, we love You. Thank You again for Your love. Thank You, as always, for the freedom to come into Your house today. Thankful for each one that is here. Others may be coming. And we're mindful of those who are not with us today. We pray Your blessing in each heart and mind. Help us, Lord, to honor and glorify You in this time. Pray the anointing of Your Spirit in each one of us and in this whole place, that You will be high and lifted up and honored and glorified in our midst. We give You praise for it in Your Son's name. Amen. Stand just as soon like say, well, that was enough for today. Let's go home and keep singing in the choir, shall we? Nope. We got some good stuff from God's Word to share together today. And as I think I already told these guys Saturday that we've been going through this theme of the year, seeing a 2020 vision in 2020, and looking at passages in the Bible that talk about that, getting God's perspective on things, seeing the big picture, seeing clearly with 2020 vision in spiritual matters especially. And today we come to Daniel. Daniel's a familiar character in the Bible, and his book is just full of it as far as seeing big things from the Lord. And so they also are aware of my obsession, my whatever you might call it, with alliteration. The letter D today is the big thing. Daniel's den and dream discernment. Huh? Ooh, it's God's fault. It's God's fault. Okay, so we're taking this tour through the Bible kind of chronologically and going to share today with Daniel. Well, you all know the story about Daniel in the lion's den, and there is a vision that's related to that. Also, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, there's a vision related to that. That doesn't fit alliteration-wise, but that's okay. Sometimes I go astray out of it. And dreams that both Daniel and some of the kings that he served had, and what they received in revelation from God. So Daniel does reveal to us the big picture, God's perspective in a number of ways, and we want to see those truths today. The first being is royal revealer. Royal revealer. Who is the royal revealer? Let's see. King Nebuchadnezzar was the first king that Daniel served, and he had a dream. None of his magicians, sorcerers, wise men couldn't even figure out the dream, let alone interpret it. So Daniel was waiting in place there in Daniel chapter 2. Alan?
During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king."
So Daniel, when none of the other sorcerers and magicians and all of that could reveal to the king what he had dreamed, he went into intense prayer along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, asked them to be praying intensely that God would reveal to him what the king had dreamed, and then, of course, what it meant. And so it's at this point where Daniel says, "You are the one who reveals dreams. Yours is wisdom. Yours is knowledge. Yours is discernment. You are the one, the only one, who can bring, make known,
make
the make knower." That's a good way to put it. He makes known. He makes us knowers as well. And so Daniel is expressing this, and then the king is going to ask him, since none of the others could do that, Hey, Daniel, how about you? So Daniel is ready when the king calls him in 26 through 28.
The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery."
Yeah. So God had set this all up. He had, you know, the Israelites are in Babylon because they were conquered, and a lot of them went there as exiles to serve the king and his kingdom. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others were there. And God already had prepared Daniel for this time. He knew and gave the dream to the king. He revealed it to Daniel. Daniel says, "I can't do it, but there is a God who can." And so the king then is comes to accept and understand that there is a God of gods, a King of kings, a Lord of lords, who alone is able to reveal these things to us. Jesus then would later share his own perspective as a royal revealer.
"All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him."
We sang about Jesus earlier, and Jesus is all we need. He's everything and all of that. It really comes down to him. When we need to know things, to see God and all of that, he works through his Son, Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am the one who reveals the Father to those whom I choose." Well, it's an offer he makes to everyone. We get to choose whether we're going to receive it or not. It takes an open heart, it takes an open mind to receive the things of the Lord through Jesus. And so he is offering that royal revelation to us as well. And then Paul reminds us of what the royal revealer offers if we open our hearts and love him in 1 Corinthians 2.
"However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit."
Yeah. So there are things that we are unable to see with the human eye or human understanding that only God can make clear to us. He alone is the one who can reveal. And he wants to do that. He wants to make himself known. He wants us to experience more and more of him. And he does this, of course, by his Spirit. Jesus said, "I will be..." Well, that's getting ahead of myself a little bit. But anyway, through his Spirit, Jesus is able to reveal these things to us that we need to know. So that's the royal reveal of the second truth that God reveals to Daniel through King Nebuchadnezzar's dream is what we might call an enduring empire. Enduring empire. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 following.
"In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. At the end of that time, I, Neb, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation."
Okay, Don, I just cannot resist. And everybody kind of reacted, I think. Neb?
Yeah.
Neb. King Neb. Well, I'm sure it's true, however. That was good. We all enjoyed that.
Would you rather me say that or be
tempted? Nebby? See, now Mike says his wife called him Nebby.
Oh,
so, okay. Have we been led astray? Have we been led astray? There you go. See, I mean, we all get these revelations in different ways from all God's creatures singing in the choir, messing it all up. What is the main point here? That the kingdom, the empire, the dominion endures forever and ever. Thank you. As long as we don't miss that. This truth was also confirmed by the next king, right, Noni?
Noni
is reading for the first time, so thank you, Noni. This is the next king. He also gets the same thing. Daniel 6.
Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
Yeah, this is glorious. God has an eternal kingdom he offers to us. It will never end. All the other kingdoms of the earth, and Daniel and the kings had dreams about these different kingdoms, but finally there will be a kingdom that comes that will never end, and that's what we're talking about here. John, the Revelator, and Paul, they also were privileged to have revelation about these and to share especially that any one of us can be a part of this enduring empire if we endure in our faith as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. Since you have kept my commandment to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown.
Yeah. So we are offered an enduring empire that we can be a part of. However, there is a little bit of a catch there. We must endure. We must hold on to our faith. Don't give it up. Things get tough. Things get hard. Hang on to your faith. That is what gets you there. That's what makes it possible for you to be a part now and for eternity. But it is an enduring empire, and so we endure to be a part of it. Third truth, King Nebuchadnezzar had another type of vision when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace, as you know, because they wouldn't bow down to this 9-foot-tall statue he built of himself. Idiot! But anyway, he gets a clear understanding of who God is through this. Daniel chapter 3. Oh! Let's get the blank filled in, shall we? Fire fellowship. Fire fellowship. Thank you. Thank you. Read about it.
King Neb leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods."
Looks like who? Son of the gods, depending on your version, son of man, son of God. But anyway, so this is Nebuchadnezzar's revelation. He sees a fourth man in there. Nobody's getting burned up. This is a pretty impressive thing to see. Daniel has a vision of his own later that confirms the son of God standing in vision.
"In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient days and was led to his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him."
Was he a son of God or was he the son of man? Yes, both. The Son of God who became a Son of Man to bring us all together, to have a fiery fellowship. We don't allow that here, Stephen. No hallelujahs here, sorry. Say it again. Oh, see, now the whole crowd's going to. Whoa. What hath God wrought? What has God wrought? Ooh, yeah. Okay, so what was the point? When we're in the fire, we have fellowship that keeps us from getting burnt. It's the Son of God, the Son of Man, and maybe a few others of us who are in there together. Especially in the fire, yes. That's when we feel it the most, don't we? And we can go about our days and things are going good and like that and maybe forget about the Lord. But when we're in the fire, boy, it reminds us of our need of Him. And so there He is. He's available to us. And again, all God's creatures are in the fire together sometimes singing as well. So, Jesus was in the fire there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He promises to be with us. We see this in Isaiah 43. Yes, go ahead. And following Matthew and whatever else.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Because God has never said...
Has said. No. Please, He has said it.
Because God never...
Never.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say in confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.
Confidence, really? Can we have confidence? Save that thought for later. Confidence. Don't forget that word. Okay, then. Who did that? Was that you, Mark?
James.
Oh, okay, I get you. Sorry. All right. So we come to the fourth truth of Daniel. And this comes through a prayer of his own that he prays to God, revealing what we like to call personal prayer power. Personal. 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 It's personal. Personal with me. Is it personal with you? Okay. For both Daniel and for God, it's personal. We see that in Daniel 9.
Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay because your city and your people bear your name.
Pause there, please, Bulldog. Okay, I want to emphasize in this part, who is Daniel saying whose sake it's for to answer the prayer? Daniel is praying. Whose sake is it for? It's for God's sake. It's for your sake, Lord, that I'm asking this. It's for your name that I'm asking this. It's personal for God. We may make our petitions and our prayers, but God answering, it's like on Him. And it is personal for Him. He's the one that gets honor. He's the one that gets glory. It lifts up His name for this. Daniel, along with Moses and others who reminded God from time to time, these are your people. This is all your business. This is for you, Lord. And so it's not a bad thing to remind God that this is personal for you as well as for me. Let's go on then.
While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision.
Yeah, what a nice thing to say to Daniel, huh? When you began to pray, I was on the way. I mean, we know he's already here, but this is what he's saying to Daniel. As soon as you started speaking, I'm coming. And he said, because you are highly esteemed, therefore consider the word and understand the vision. Did you know the Lord highly esteems you and you, 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 and you. We are highly esteemed. It's personal with the Lord for our sake. He created us. He loves us. He wants the best. He wants to be honored and glorified in each and every one of us. We are highly esteemed because He has chosen to create us and work through us for His honor and for His glory. So it all works together, doesn't it? It's personal for the Lord. It's personal for us. Remember that when you pray, expecting an answer. Remind God that it's a personal thing between the two of you. And then, there, of course, are many, 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 many more passages about prayer and how personal it can be throughout the Bible. But I want to lift up especially Philippians 4, a very familiar passage.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Is this personal? Does this get really personal? How many have had this promise fulfilled in your life? You had a situation where you just poured out your heart, and God brought His peace to you. There's nothing else that can bring that peace, that real personal need of peace, except for the Lord. We have to give it to Him with thanksgiving because that's our expression of trust and belief and reminding the Lord that He is faithful, He is all of that, and that He will answer our prayers. And so it becomes that personal prayer. Well, the fifth and final big picture in God perspective truth that He gives to Daniel concerns what we might call righteousness rising. Righteousness rising. Is it rising in your life? Daniel chapter 12.
Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance.
Yes. So the wise are the righteous, and they rise like the Son of God Himself, that star over Bethlehem, who became the great, bright, and morning star. Remember last week we had the new and never-ending Nova, who is Jesus Himself. And when we come to Him and we receive Him, His righteousness in our lives, we rise with Him. We also shine like the stars in the heaven. That's our great privilege to the Lord. We're wise in understanding. He says, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. We are rising as we continue in righteousness, and hopefully we're becoming more righteous as we go and shining brighter and brighter and brighter, going to shine for eternity, forever, if we endure in our rising and our righteousness. It just gets better and better. We receive from the Lord what He offers to us, and then we are able to share it with others, and that's a rising experience not only for us but for someone else. And so we come to Christ, we're automatically become a part of that glorious heavenly host and the great array of brilliant lights throughout heaven. We see this in Hebrews chapter 12.
But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of all righteous made perfect. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Are we hearing today? Are we receiving God's word? We're seeing something new, hopefully inspiring to us to encourage the righteousness that God is working in us through Christ. And that's a rising experience. Finally, John the Revelator sees and reveals a picture of what the bride of Christ is wearing in that wonderful wedding we'll be a part of. Revelation 19.
Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our God Almighty, our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people.
Are we the bride shining brightly? Are we making ourselves ready? Are we rising in righteousness? Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Only because of Christ, I can say that's me. Only because of Christ, you can say that's me. Only because of Christ, any one of us can say that's me. I'm shining bright, I'm righteous because of His righteousness, getting more like Him every day, rising in that experience, that glorious experience. Good stuff, right? This is what God is offering to us, what we're seeing through Daniel's den and dream discernment. What have we learned? Number one, the royal revealer invites us to be a part of His enduring empire, to share in His fire fellowship through our trials of faith, to experience personal prayer power with Him and with the fellowship that we have joined to celebrate righteousness rising to its ultimate glory in heaven. Lord, give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense so that I can face my giants with
confidence.
You got confidence? Confidence in the Lord? Shall we stand and sing about it? As always, the altars are open if you desire to pray here as we sing together. Sing with confidence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Facing our giants with confidence only because You are a holy God who makes us holy and righteous.